times my heart's been stirred by the things that I have heard about so many who have never heard God's word. And though tears would fill my eyes, all too soon I'd realize that though my heart was stirred, my life had not been changed. I'm so tired of being stirred about the lost who need to hear. I'm so tired of being stirred that His coming is so near. I'm so tired of being stirred till I cry bitter tears. I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed. Have I heard it for so long that He's just another song? Has the story lost its thrill that I once knew? Lord, give me a burden that's so strong that it will last when my tears are gone. I'm tired of what I've been. Lord, make me over again. I'm so tired of being stirred about the lost who need to hear. I'm so tired of being stirred that He's coming so near. I'm so tired of being stirred till I cry bitter tears. I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed. But this time, Lord, change me. Let the work begin just now. This time, Lord, change me. Please change me somehow. This time, Lord, change me. Let my life be rearranged. I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed. I'm so tired of being stirred but not being changed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Word cannot describe it.
Thank you.
before Pastor Ryman. Friday night. I like revivals. While we're talking about it, I was telling the pastor, we have an August meeting. We go Sunday to Sunday. Y'all welcome to come down. It's the third Sunday of August. We start, and then we go to the fourth Sunday. And then y'all come to camp with us. We also have a youth rally, and y'all usually come for that. That's a blessing. But anytime you can get together, the Bible says so much to more as you see a day approaching. You have revival, you have fellowships and all that. You ought to get together as much as you can. And, encourage one another. I was telling the pastor, I went and heard a Lebanese pastor a few weeks ago. And this guy got saved. And he said, Americans all down and out because of what's going on in the economy and everything. He said, man, it's a great opportunity for us. He's in Egypt starting churches and... has started a church in Iraq, underground in Iraq. You know, a lot of times we think a guy is, you know, look at a guy, he's brave. You know, we think this guy's tough and brave because he fights in I like to watch the Ultimate Challenge. I like Octagon. I like watching that stuff. I like to see two guys getting there and beat their brains up. I like to see that. I like to see that, you know, I just like that stuff. I like race cars. I like, I told him, I said, I'm not a hunter. I never was a hunter. My father didn't take me hunting. I said, man, when I growing up, I had to work all the time, and I just can't stop working. I love working. And my father never took me hunting. I went hunting with these couple guys, these Italians, and they're supposed to be big game hunters. And they were in the gangs, but they weren't game hunters. And I went up to West Virginia with them after I got saved, and the one Italian got out. Friend of mine named Tommy DeFeo, and Tommy DeFeo got out of the truck, and there was a dirt road we was on, and he looked down and he said, deer, and he pulled his gun. He had a 20-gauge shotgun, pulled a 20-gauge shotgun up, and he's going to shoot a deer with a 20-gauge shotgun, and I looked down the road, and I said, man, that's a goat. A man had a goat tied up. He's going to kill the man's goat, and we end up in the mountains there of West Virginia. We end up arguing, everybody getting arguing, and then we end up shooting at each other. And we never did shoot anything. We shot at each other. We was, just crazy stuff like that. And got, you know, but I wasn't a hunter. I don't like to get up in a tree at 3 o'clock in the morning and put put urine all over me and wait for something to never come by. And I just, that's just not a thrill for me. I don't like to go. I mean, a lot of guys get pleasure out of fishing. They go out and cast their line and they sit there and, man, they sit there. I mean, maybe y'all get pleasure out of that. That's great. Amen. I'm happy for it. The way I would rather fish is take dynamite and throw it out there. That'd be cool. That'd be the way to fish. And throw it out there and but I just can't get no. Maybe I move around too much or something. Maybe I'm just too hyper, and I just can't sit there. I remember Dr. Upman took me out fishing one time, and he took me out to show me how to cast the net. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's like Christmas to see what you're going to get. Throw a net out there and see what you're going to get there. I used to go out with him and mess around with him a little bit, kid around with him. I used to pull pranks on him all the time. Him and I used to fight nunchucks and all that stuff. And I told him, I said, old man, I said, you better be ready because I might get you any time. And any time I called him old man, he'd try to take my head off. And I'd have nunchucks. And first time I learned how to use nunchucks, I mean, I was taking them things, I was swinging them things, and I'd try to bring them around like that. And every time I did, I had wood nunchucks. I mean, I was going, I brought them nunchucks around like that, and I went, bam, hit myself in the head. I see stars. I thought, man, this got to be a better way of doing that. Finally, I learned how to do it right. And but Doc used to, you know, we used to fight the nunchucks and all that stuff and just have a good time. I mean, I was in Bible school and we was doing that stuff. And I love to be around old preachers. I like to be around them guys and see how they are and the way they did. And I got to hang around with Doc. I got to hang around with Doc used to come over to my house and watch Reel to Reel on Friday night. And my kids, he would draw pictures for my kids and stuff. I got to hang around with Dr. Seitler. I got to be around some old preachers. When I went to Bible school, we was graduating Bible school, and we all wanted the power of God in our life. I still want the power of God in my life. And we went to Bible school, and a bunch of us got in my old pickup truck, and we headed for North Carolina to go to a camp meeting. And we got in my pickup truck, and we were driving down the road, me and Jim Lentz and a couple other guys. We were all in the truck praying. And I went by to see an old preacher named Dr. Raybon. And Dr. Raybon, I met him years before. And I was just young. I got saved at 18. By the time I went to Bible school, about 20, 21, I told you last night, I learned how to read and all that, learning how to read. Went to Bible school. And I went by to see old Dr. Raybon. He preached with Billy Sunday and Bob Jones Sr. And he preached with just some of the old timers. And I went over and went to that man's house. And he said, come here, boy, let me pray for you. He was in the basement. The old man, he was like 90-some years old. And he said, let me pray for you. And I mean, he was sitting in a chair and he laid hands on another brother and me. And he was praying. He started praying for us. Man, I tell you what, I got so filled. I mean, I can't explain about that thing. I don't know what, there's no charismatic bone in my body when it comes to that. I can't explain, but I'll tell you what, that old man laid hands on me. I felt like I was going to blow up. I ran around his basement, slamming into the wall, screaming and yelling and shouting. And then I slid in on my knees and got and put his hand back on my head again. And he's still praying. And about 5 years later, I went by looking for this old man. I wondered if he was still alive. And I knocked on his door, and I had all these preachers with me. And we went and knocked on his door, and old Dr. Raybon, as soon as he opened the door, he was in his 90s. As soon as he opened the door, he said, boy, I've been praying for you every day at 12 o'clock. Man, all I got to do is just cry. Every day. That's the day I was in his basement at 12 o'clock. That's he prayed for me. And I believe in that. I believe in praying, man. I believe in, man, that something's there. Something's going on. But we went to Bible. We went up there, had Brother Lackey lay hands on us. Me and the guys preached each other all night long, and we was up in the old church preaching and praying all night long, and we just got stirred up. We went out street preaching, and Brother Lackey had his wife. Her name was Pearl Lackey, and Brother Lackey looked like a bulldog. Man, he sat on the platform. He just stared at everybody. His face never went down, never smiled. He just looked like a bulldog. Sit there. He had jaws, you know, hanging down. He just stared at people. And I went to that camp meeting, and we used to go to them camp meetings down there and have a time. And me and the guys got in my truck, and we drove down to town. We preached in town at 3 o'clock in the morning on the street. We were running around screaming and yelling, hanging out the truck. I mean, I'm doing donuts in the church parking lot. I pulled back. I had my old pickup truck, and I'm doing donuts in the church parking lot. Everybody's asleep. And we're just shouting and having a time. And all of a sudden, the lights of Brother Lackey's house came on. And man, Mrs. Lackey, she had real long, she, like an old holiness woman. She had real long white hair, came all the way down her back. But she put it up in the bun. And she came out there, and the light came on. She came walking out, and she had her nightgown on, and she had a robe on. And man, we was out there screaming and yelling. We was doing donuts around that parking lot and screaming, hanging out the window and having a time. And she came out there. I went, uh-oh. And she came out and put her hands on her hips and looked at us. I mean, I was squealing wheels, making all kinds of crazy noise. In the church parking lot, everybody was asleep. They had a camp meeting there. And she put her hands on her hips like this and went, and I went, uh-oh, and I went, we came down, stopped the truck, and turned the lights off, and we said, uh-oh, man, we're in trouble now. So the next morning, I went up to her, and she, for breakfast, we went over to the, they had another gym, went over there to eat breakfast, and I walked up to Miss Lackey, her name is Pearl. I said, Miss Pearl, I said, I'm sorry about last night. I'm sorry about waking everybody up and everything. She said, Brother Ryman, was that you out there in that truck? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, a bunch of other guys with me. And she said, boy, I'm disappointed in you. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, don't you say yes, ma'am. You don't know why I'm disappointed in you. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I said, don't you say that. You don't know why I'm disappointed in you. And I said, why are you disappointed in me? And she said, Brother Ryman, you was all screaming and yelling, waking everybody up, acting fools, and burning tires and squealing wheels and doing all that stuff in the church parking lot. And 3 o'clock in the morning woke me up. And she said, not one time did you invite me to get in the truck with you. I put my arm around and I said, how about tonight, baby? Felt good then. Take your Bible to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I like old time religion. I like old time religion. In old time religion, you can feel it. When I say old time religion, I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about religion. You know, people killing each other over religion. All these wars that you see going on, it's all about religion. They say in politics, you know, is religion stronger than politics? Sure is. When people believe something, a lot stronger. You say, how can you prove it? Look at the guys that flew the planes in the Twin Towers. Religion's a lot stronger than politics. But we don't have religion. I remember one time I was witnessing to a guy I was roofing with, and I witnessed this guy. We were going down the road, and this guy thought he was educated, very smart. I've dealt with a lot of folks that think they're real smart. You know, they're real educated. They got it all down. They know what, you know, like brother was saying, you got a crutch. I'm riding down the road with this guy, and he says to me, he said, you know, Alan, he said, if everybody was more educated, there wouldn't be any wars. I started laughing. I laughed and laughed, and I said, you're an idiot. He said, what? And he was educated, you know, college graduate. And he said, well, why would you say such a thing? I said, you're an idiot. I said, who you think starts the wars, man? You think it's the farmer or the factory worker? You think it's those guys? It's always the educated people. Starts the wars, you idiot. I was witnessing these college students. I was down there. These college students went to a Grateful Dead concert. I was down at the Grateful Dead concert, passing out tracts, witnessing everybody. And these guys come out. They have a serious heart attack. They said to me, he said, do you believe in that creationism? He said, that's a bunch of bunk. You know, he was saying a bunch of other stuff. And I said, well, you believe in evolution? I said, you got to be an idiot. You got to be an idiot if you believe in evolution. And I said, let me ask you something. Where did the earth come from? He said, well, 5 billion years ago, I said, give or take, you know, 2 billion or 3 billion. 5 billion years ago, he said, the earth slung off the sun. I said, really? I said, the sun is a ball of fire. He said, oh, yeah, it's a ball of fire. And I said, and the earth shaped itself as it went through the atmosphere. And he said, and now the earth is shaped, and that's where we're at. That's where, you know, the earth is here. It blew off the sun, or it fell off the sun, or shot off the sun. And I said, well, how do you explain the water? The earth is two-thirds water. He said, condensation. I said, two-thirds water, condensation, went through the atmosphere. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, yeah. I said, you're as stupid as the day is long, man. And look at 2 Samuel chapter 3. And 2 Samuel chapter 3, it says, and there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. That's the type of the old man, new man. The old man should get stronger. The new man, Jesus, or John the Baptist said this. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. As a child of God, you should be decreasing, and Jesus Christ should be increasing in your life. Amen. And he said, the house of Saul. Saul, it's the house of Saul and David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And look on down at, look at verse, about verse 10. Abner, there's a guy named Abner, he's a general of the northern tribes of Israel. This guy ends up, the kingdom gets kind of split. Abner was Saul's uncle. And if you know anything about your Bible, I love 1 Samuel. I love 1 and 2 Samuel. There's a lot of teaching, preaching in there, a lot of good things. And Abner ends up, he was there the day David killed the giant. Abner was there. And Abner was standing beside Saul, and when David went out and killed that giant. And Abner was actually the general that led all the troops. And then Abner was there when all the things happened in Saul. He saw the change in Saul, and where Saul had an evil spirit from God. He's seen all that stuff. He even heard Saul tell David that you're going to be king one day. He heard Saul say, David, you're going to be king. And he knew that God anointed David to be king over Israel. And I was telling our church the other night, I said, you know, David's going to reign in Jerusalem one day. And the Lord's coming back. He's going to reign in Jerusalem. But David's going to reign there with the Jews. And but look what Abner says. He gets mad at Saul's son, and he puts him. When Saul and Jonathan and the rest of them died, there was one son that remained. Actually, two. And this one, he puts in charge. He puts him as a king. And the Bible says David goes to Hebron, and he goes to Hebron, and Judah makes David king over Judah. And so Abner makes Saul's son over the rest of the tribes and puts him up for as a dummy type king or somebody he could control. He wanted to control the kingdom, but he wanted to use him as a head and without no power. And so Abner goes in and takes a concubine that Saul had. And he takes this concubine, and Saul's son gets mad and rebukes him. And then Abner gets mad because he didn't get his way. And then he knows that God told him he was going to give the kingdom to David. Now look at this. It says in verse 10, it says to translate, or back to verse 9, so do God to Abner, and more also, except the Lord have sworn to David, even so I do to him. To translate the kingdom from the house of Saul. There's a good translation right there. And to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even on the Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner in a word again because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf and saying, whose is the land? Saying also, make a league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee. And he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require. So David gives him his requirements. Look down about 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, you sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, out of the hand of all their enemies. Now, here, when somebody starts saying to me they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe the Word of God, I always tell them this. I say, look, you go to Jeremiah, where God tells Jeremiah, you know, I'm going to take the land away from Israel because of the rebellion, because of all the things that they did. And he said, later on, I'm going to give it back to them. And Israel lost that land, that piece of ground. They're surrounded now by all enemies on all sides. And God said, I'm going to take them out of the land. I'm going to give it to another kingdom. And you know about the four kingdoms that was raised up in the book of Daniel. There was Babylon, Medes and the Persians, and the Grecians, and then Rome. And Rome is still in power according to the Word of God. Rome still got power and still got control. And so those kingdoms were set up by image and that Daniel saw and interpreted for the king Nebuchadnezzar. But I tell people this. I said, you know how I can tell you this Bible is right on the money? Because God said he's going to take Israel out of their land. And then 1948, God gave it back. He said, I'm going to give it back to them. 1948, God gives them the land back. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, he said, when you see Israel bud, when they become that fig tree starts budding, you can look for my coming. And the Lord's coming back. He's coming back real soon. I was telling the pastor and everybody today what this Lebanese pastor said and what this guy Abinadab said. I mean, I believe, you say, preacher, do you believe Jesus Christ coming back? I believe he's coming back in my lifetime. My lifetime. And matter of fact, I believe it's going to be sooner than what we really think. Now, I'm not like that guy that's put out all the advertisements saying October 21st and May 20th. That guy's an idiot. Now, I'm not making no prediction, but I'm saying the Lord's coming back. You know the signs of the time. And this guy put out all this stuff and made a mockery. He made a mockery. What was his? Harold Camping. He made a mockery of the Word of God. So people were mocking, saying, oh, they've been saying Jesus Christ going to come back and all that stuff. But the time is at hand. I mean, I believe the Lord's coming back. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight. But the Bible says, and Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, ye sought for David in time past to be king over you. Now do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people out of Israel, out of the hand of Philistines, out of the hand of all their enemies. And one day the Lord is. You read Revelation, the Lord's going to save Israel. And then the Bible says, and Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And why? Because Benjamin was Saul's tribe and Abner's tribe. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron. And all that seemeth good to Israel, that seemeth good to the whole house of Benjamin. And so Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and I will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, that thou mayest reign over all that thy heart desire. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. So Abner was he was his enemy for years and years, and he was there when he killed the giant. But then Abner and Saul was chasing David around for years. You remember reading about David being in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible says all that was in distress, all that was in debt, and all was discontented came to David. That sounds like Christians coming, you know, discontented, in debt, they came to David, which type of Jesus Christ. But Abner goes out, and he's going to go out and get all Israel to come under David as one kingdom, not a divided kingdom anymore. And he's going to bring them all together as one kingdom. And now look at this. Now it says, and Joab, type right here, is a type of the devil. When Joab and all the hosts that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is that thou hast sent him away? He is quite gone. Thou knowest, Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, to know thy going out and thy coming in, to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out of David, he sent messengers after Abner and brought him again from the well of Sarah, but David knew it not. So Abner returned to Hebron, and Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ishael, his brother. Now you say, what was this dying? I mean, this was the avenger of blood. This Joab was avenging his brother. His brother was killed. Go back one chapter to chapter 2 and look at this. Abner had 11 tribes of Israel, and David's men were from the tribe of Judah, and Joab comes up and they meet each other. They meet each other. And there's so many men on both sides, and they come out and they sit down at this pool. And look what the Bible says happens. This is no playing, man. This is for keeps. When he said, let the men play, oh man, this is no playing. And it says, and Abner the son of Ner, the servant of Ish-bosh, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanaim and to Gibeon. And it says, and Joab the son of Ner, Zariah, the servant of David, went out and met together by the pool Gibeon. And it says, and they sat down, one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, now Abner initiated it, let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, let them arise. What it was, these two generals sit down and they're looking at each other. They're looking at, and there's a pool there. And he said, all right, let them fight. Let them play. Let them get up and let's see who's going to do who. And the 10 men on each side get up. And the Bible says Joab had some of the David's mighty men with him. And those guys, I mean, some of them guys, the Bible says they were like lion-like men. And they were some bad dudes. I would always like to see David's mighty men play football. That would be something to see. David's mighty men on the front line playing football. But these guys get up and they play. And look what happens. And this is a serious business. They start playing. And look what happens. And it says, and there arose and went over the number of the 12 of Benjamin, or I'm sorry, it was 12. And it says, we're pertaining to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head and thrusted his sword in his fellow's side, So they fell down together. These guys got up to play, and they all had swords in their hand, and they got up and they walk around each other, and they grab each other by the head, and then wham, they stick each other. And they all die, 24 of them, drop dead right there. And then what happens is they get into pursuit, they start fighting. And I watched that movie, guys like blood and guts movies. Guys like, I don't know, I like blood and guts movie. I mean, I get all stirred up in that thing. Women don't like to see that. Women like for their husbands to sit down on Friday night and watch this love story, you know. And the guy sits there watching the love story, you know. He gets kind of bored. But if it was blood and guts and everybody's fighting and everything, he'd be right into it and she'd be, oh, man, I'm going to bed, you know. But guys like that stuff. And all the way through the Bible, there's fighting going on. And in the Old Testament, the fight was physical. New Testament, the spiritual fight is a spiritual fight. So these guys fight, and then all of a sudden they get into pursuing. They're fighting in a battle. And I watched that movie Braveheart. Man, I got stirred up in that thing. I mean, man, they got fighting and everything, and man, blood flying everywhere. And they take their sword, that gets you stirred up, man. And this is what's going on, man. This is going on. And Joab starts fighting with Abner's men. And look what happens. And there was look at verse 17. There was a very sore battle that day. And Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel, and before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zerah, Joab, Abishai, and Ashiel. Ashiel was a light on his foot as a wild roe. Ashiel pursued after Abner, and in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. So this guy had his eye on he wanted to get the big prize. He wanted the big dog. And he was chasing Abner. And Abner was the general. And they were all running. That doesn't say anything about any horses. They're all on foot. And they're running. And Ashiel's chasing Abner and catching up with him. And now Abner's got he's got arm bearers. And he's got shield carriers, all that stuff. But Ashiel's got he's got his mind to get this guy. And he wants to kill him. So it'd be a prize. I mean, real big thing for him. And he was a young man. He was probably a teenager. And Ashiel pursued after Abner, and in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Ashiel?" And he answered, "I am." Abner's yelling back, "So are you Ashiel?" He said, "Yeah." And look what Abner says. He said, and Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take his armor." But Ashiel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said unto him, Abner said again to Ashiel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to thy brother, to Joab thy brother? He's saying, boy, if I kill you, how am I going to face your brother? You're your younger brother, and I'm going to have to face him. I don't want to kill you, boy. Back off. Go get one of these other guys and get one of their shields, get one of their armors. He said, go after them. But Ashiel said, I want him. I want to get him. And he was outmatched when it came to Abner. He was outmatched. Abner was slick. And the Bible says this, in verse 22, Abner said again to Ashiel, turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass, as many as came to the place where Ashiel fell down and died, stood still. And Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill Amaim, and lieth before Gath, by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of the hill. And Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then ere thou biddest the people return from following their brethren? And Joab said, as God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up, everyone from following his brother. So Joab is chasing him. But what happened was, Ashiel's running after Abner, and Abner's running, and he slows down. And he takes his spear, he's carrying his spear, and he slows down. He knows, here's Ashiel coming up with his sword, getting ready to hit him. And he just stops and takes his spear, goes boom, right behind him, and runs it right through that kid, and kills him. So, go back to chapter 3. In chapter 3, Abner comes, and tries to make a league with David, and they make peace. And he says, I'm going to bring all the kingdom to you. David, I know you're going to be king. I knew it. And you're going to be king. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do it. So Joab comes in, rebukes David, said, you know how he is. You know what he's up to. He's going to do something. So Joab takes it upon himself, writes a note, sends it to Abner, says, signs David's name. David, I want you back. So look what the Bible says. In verse 28, and after when David heard, verse 27, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak to him quietly and smote him there on the fifth rib that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. He's the avenger. And afterwards, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. And now let it rest on the head of Joab and all of his house, father's house. Let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. David just said, this is going to happen to this guy. And it says, so Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, render your clothes, girt you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner, and King David himself followed the briar. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Abner dieth as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in feathers. He said, as a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to David, came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, that is, whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And it says, and the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince, a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Father, I pray, God, you bless your word, bless the time we have left here tonight. I pray, God, just use the message now and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I wanted to preach a message called Abner. Talk about Abner. He died as a fool. Died as a fool died. David made a league with Abner. He made a league thinking we're going to get all the kingdom back together. No more fighting, no more death, no more of that stuff. And Joab would not let it go. And Joab said, no, it ain't going to happen. I'm going to take care of Abner. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to kill him for sure. And Joab is the type of the adversary there. He's the type of the devil. And he said, I'm going to get him. And he goes after him, and he calls, and he does that. And he said, and he went after Abner and brought him back and killed him. He did what he said he was going to do. And then David pronounced that Abner died as a fool. He died as a fool. Why? Because he said, thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in feathers. He wasn't chained up. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fell thou. And all the people wept again over him. David said, man, you died as a fool. You are a fool. You should have known. You should have been aware. You should have been, man, you should have been vigilant. You should have expected it. You should have expected from your adversary. You should have known that. And he said, Abner died as a fool died. You know, the Bible talks about fools. I've been on the street corner preaching, and I preach. I said, fools make a mock at sin, because the Bible says that. Fools make us mock at sin. Fools, the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. The Bible talks about a lot of fools, and Jesus talked about a guy that was rich. He was a rich young ruler, and Jesus called him a fool. Now, you know, people say, you shouldn't call nobody a fool, and you shouldn't say stuff like that. But Jesus did. And the Bible talks about fools. And, you know, a fool puts all his trust in material things. A fool will put all his trust a fool will follow lust. A fool will follow, have bad company. A fool thinks education is going to refine human nature. That's a fool. He thinks education is going to refine. You're still wicked as hell. You can have all the education, all the degrees you want. You're still wicked as hell. You still need to be saved. A fool will put his trust in education. Like I said, that guy was telling me a little while ago. That's a fool. And the Bible says fools make a mock of sin. Fools, the Bible says, fools despise wisdom. Wisdom coming from the Word of God. I mean, God's the one gives. The Bible talks about worldly wisdom, and it talks about godly wisdom. And the godly wisdom, God says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And a fool will not listen. A fool is one who the Bible says, is sport to a fool to do mischief. Fools, we said a minute ago, fool said in his heart, there is no God. And the Bible says, a plotting fool shall fall. So Jesus talked about fools, and Jesus even called the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. He said, "Ye fools, you blind guides." Why? Because they were religious and they were lost. There's fools that are religious. There's fools that are not religious. There's fools in every aspect of life. There's fools. And if a man puts his trust in himself or his education or whatever, he's a fool. He doesn't make plans for life hereafter. That's a fool. And the Bible talks about fools all the way through. You know what? David said Abner died as a fool died. And you know what? I preached some funerals that I know the person died before their time, and I thought, man, what a fool. That was a fool. I mean, you died before your time. Why? I mean, why? Man, when you have all life to live. And man, people drink themselves to death. They drink and drink and drink. They're fools. They do drugs. They drug themselves to death. That's a fool. People do all kinds of stupid things. I've got a statistic here. 80,000 deaths last year. Over half all traffic fatalities, homicides, and suicides are somebody drinking. That's a fool. I mean, kill themselves. Feeling sorry for themselves. Fool. I mean, folks, people are dying by the thousands. They're fools. No God. No hope. No nothing. Just they think, well, you know, I've had people tell me, I'm just going to end it all. I'll end it all. I said, that ain't the end. You know, God made you God made you with a body, soul, and a spirit. You're going to live forever. God made you like Him. You're going to live forever in heaven or hell. If you choose to go to hell, you're a fool. You're a fool. I mean, you are a fool. You choose to go to hell. You choose to trust yourself. You know, the Bible says, walk circumspectly as a child of God. I'm talking about a child of God. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. Children of God, you're supposed to walk circumspectly. What is that? Watching. Watching. Being careful where you go. Watching what you do. Why? So it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You got to be careful what you look at. You got to be careful where you go and what you're doing. Man, I'm reading this thing about Abner. He said, Abner dieth as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound. Abner died. Here's a guy that was a general, and the guy was a military expert. The guy was there every time there was a battle going on. This guy was, man, he was right beside Saul. He's seen all these people fight, and he was right in the thick of it. This guy, man, he should have expected that he was going to be there's going to be a battle with Joab. He should have expected that. Here he was sitting beside a pool with Joab, and he looks over, he said, let the young men play. And they get up, and they, man, 12 on each side died that day. Man, 12, 24 each. I mean, 24, the whole group, 12 each. And then they end up battling, and because of why? Power struggle. People die every day being fools. Car accidents, drunks. People die because of the company they keep. And you know what? I've preached a lot of funerals of kids, teenagers, because they were with somebody and they shouldn't have been and got killed. Man, that's a fool. You say, man, why are you so hard? I'm not hard. I'm just saying that's a fool. I don't want to die as a fool. I want to die, man. I remember old Jack Wood said one time, he told his men, he told the guys down in Texas, he said, boys, he said, you ought to die with your boots on. And what he was saying, he said, you ought to die serving God and don't quit and don't turn aside. He said, die with your boots on. Don't die like a fool. I know a lot of preachers now. As a matter of fact, we were talking about preachers that got out, preachers that fell into sin. Now, some of them are dead. They died as fools. They end up ruining the ministry, ruining their home, ruining their family. Christians ruin their families, end up dying. I can tell you how many times, I can't even tell you how many times I preach funerals of people that I knew they died before their time. I preached a funeral one time of a little baby, and the father was sitting on the front row, and he had three or four different wives sitting there that he had and had kids. And I mean, it was pretty hard. The guy was living like hell. And I went up to him, and I said, man, you don't get right with God, God's going to kill you. I said that right then. I went over to his kids. I said, you kids, I said, don't you end up like your father. And man, I told that lady that had the baby died. It was his girlfriend had a baby. Isn't it something how people get their cart before the horse? They'll end up having a baby, and they'll end up having all this stuff, and then they want to get married after, you know, I realize, thank God they do. I mean, I do it. I do folks that help them out. But it's something how people always get the cart before the horse. And I looked at this young lady. I said, ma'am, I said, if you don't get saved, she wouldn't get saved. And she was on pills and everything. I said, ma'am, if you don't get saved, you'll never see your baby again. 1 year later, she ended up in a car accident, dead. And that man, I put my finger in his face and said, if you don't get right with God, God's going to kill you. Guess what? God killed him. His son right now is in prison. Man, people die like fools. He said, Abner died as a fool died. I mean, they should have been ready. They should have been on guard. Child of God, you're supposed to put on the whole armor of God on a daily basis. You're supposed to, you know, put the helmet of salvation, have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You're supposed to be ready at all times. You're supposed to be, man, aware that the Bible says, you know what people think? They think the devil's like a little kitty cat they can play with. The Bible says the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Christians think you can play with him. I tell you story after story about Christians I've seen that messed around in life and just ruined their life and, man, end up dying like a fool. Dying like a fool. Abner, he said, man, Abner, he said, your hands weren't bound. I mean, you could have done something. Abner goes along and old Joab, as soon as he gets back, Joab says, hey, Abner, come here, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. And the Bible says he put his arm around him and walked down through there and put his arm around Abner and he had a sword in his hand, or a dagger in his hand, and he stuck in his fifth rib and just took him out. Killed him right there. Abner thought, oh man, me and Joab, we all right now. I'm going to tell you something, the devil ain't your friend, man. This world ain't your friend. You know, the Bible tells you got three enemies: the world, the flesh, and your devil, and the devil. And I'll tell you what: the biggest enemy you have is yourself. Your biggest enemy is you. My biggest enemy is me. You better not trust yourself. I liked what old Les Roloff used to say. He said, "Man, I don't trust myself in broad daylight." My children used to say, "Daddy, you act like you don't trust me." I said, "I don't. I don't trust the flesh." I know the flesh is strong, man. I know the flesh is strong. I got three daughters, and they're all married now. Thank God. Hallelujah. It cost me an arm and leg, but they got married. I mean, I told my wife, only 3,000 each kid. 3,000, that's it. Man. My wife, I know she beat me out of it. I know she did. She got over on me somehow. I'll figure it out one day. I'll figure it out. She did it. But, man, she figured out how to make it more, you know, expensive. But all the girls got married, and thank God they got good men. Thank God. I pray that you say, is it over? No. I never wanted my kids to move out. I still don't. I'm add on to the house. I want to bring them all back. With the kids and the grandkids, the son-in-laws and all of them, I'll bring them all back. That way I can have them all around the house. I can enjoy it more. You said, preacher, you like that? Oh, yeah, I like that. I love my grandchildren. I love my son-in-law. I love all that stuff. I tell them, don't die as a fool died. I pray. I spend time praying for them. I pray, God, keep them safe. God, help them. Watch over my son-in-laws. Help them not to cheat on my daughters. And help my son not to cheat on his wife. Help my children, God, to do right. I mean, I pray all the time for them. I pray, God, protect them. Man, it ain't over. It's just you got more responsibility now. When you have children and they get married and you get more kids, you got more responsibility. I got 11 grandkids. And if I count my nephew, I got 16. And then if I count the other family that comes to our church and that's related there, that's 20. Man, you say, what do? I pray for them by name. God protect them. God keep them safe. Don't let them die like a fool dies. God help them more. Man, people are dying like fools all over. Christians get mad. They get mad at church, and they get out of church, and they quit going, and they quit going. I had a person get, just recently, I was away. The last time I was away, every time I go away, something happened. And the last time I was away, I had somebody got mad, put something on the computer, and somebody put it back to them. I don't get on the computer. I don't know how to get on the computer. I don't even know how to turn the thing on. I don't even fool with them. I don't trust them. Amen. I said the iPhone, it's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. Everybody walking around like this all the time. Man, I tell Jesse, I said, I said, I was Steve Jobs. He was an antichrist. That's what he was. And Jesse said, no, he wasn't. He was a genius. I said, no, he helped the antichrist get everything together here for us. That's what he did. Man, he died as a fool died. And Joab goes after him and kills him. And what's sad about it, he said his hands weren't bound. I mean, if Abner would have had half of the chance, he could have fought. They could have had a battle. They could have had a sword fight, or they could have fought it out. But Joab was slick. I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh is... Don't ever trust yourself. Don't ever trust the world. Man, the world, man, they'll sell you out in a heartbeat. A lot of times, we're conservative. You know, we all, you know, we say we're conservative, we're Republicans. Hey, man, the Republicans are just as wicked as the Democrats.
That's right.
They're just as wicked. I've been to their meetings. I've been, you know, they said, well, I'm an independent. Well, amen. I've always tell our folks, you vote for the lesser evil. That's what you vote for.
Amen.
Vote for the lesser evil. You pray God help the guy get in there, have some fear of God in him some. And you vote for the lesser evil. But because he's like, you know, we talk about Rush Limbaugh. He's all, he's with us. No, he's not saved. These guys are not saved. They wouldn't spit on you if you was on fire. They wouldn't spit on you at all. You know what? You know who you better trust in? You better trust in Jesus Christ. You better not be... I mean, people get all worked up about politics. And I know that I'm a football fan, too. I like football. I'm a Redskins fan. I know they ain't doing that good right now. I mean, I know all that. But, I mean, it's not going to affect me if they lose. We got people come to church, man, their team loses. It's like, oh, man, this is the end of the world. Oh, man, they didn't go to the playoffs. Oh, who cares? Are y'all Giants fans up here?
Amen.
How many of y'all Giants fans? How many of y'all Jets fans? How many of y'all no fans? No fans. But people get, I never forget one preacher named Harley Keck up in Wisconsin. He told me, he was preaching one time. He said, man, I tell you what, he said, man, when Green Bay wins, he said, man, we have a Sunday night service like you wouldn't believe. He said, man, it's on. Everybody's running the aisles shouting out. He said, but when they lose, brother, I'll tell you what, we're having a hard time in church. It shouldn't be that way. Man, it shouldn't be that way at all. He said, Abner died as a fool died. His hands were not bound. He should have been fighting. You know what every Christian is supposed to do? You're supposed to fight. You're supposed to fight, man. You're supposed to fight until the Lord calls you home. This world is not my home. I mean, this is a fight here. You got to fight sin in your life. You know what happens to Christians? They get tired of fighting. They get tired of fighting the flesh. They get tired of, they just let it go. They say, well, I don't go to church no more. And I go around and see people, man, and they're, you know, they say, I don't go to church. We're not doing nothing bad. You walk in the house, they got all kinds of X-rated movies or R-rated movies and cussing in the movies. Don't buy them bed. I remember a guy told me one time, he went to Bible school. He said, oh, Brother Allen, I was preaching revival at the church. He said, Brother Allen, you got to watch this movie, man. It's a good movie. And I said, is it clean? I mean, and people come and tell me a joke. And I said, is it clean? Is it a good, you know, clean joke? And they're like, oh, yeah. But then they'll have some, I'll turn around and walk away. I say, hey, man, I don't hear that. And this guy says, he went to Bible school with me. He said, brother, you've got to see this movie called One Shot, One Kill. You got to see it. Every other word was a cuss word in that thing. I said, cut that thing off, man. I don't want to see that. I mean, he said, I didn't realize all that was in there. You know why? Because your conscience gets seared on you get used to hearing the cursing. You get used to that stuff. And it doesn't bother you anymore. You end up dying like a fool. Your kids are listening to that stuff. Them full long words are coming out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of your mouth. I was telling him last night, we have a guy in our church. He's a big old boy. I mean, he's got a real deep voice. And he sounds like Lurch when he talks. I'm really, he goes, and when he says amen, everybody goes, ooh, man. Because he goes, amen. Everybody goes, ooh, man. I was preaching on a Sunday morning, and I was preaching on sin when it's finished, bring forth death. And I'm screaming, sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. And I'm going, death. And all of a sudden, he fell over. And his wife goes, I mean, she had one of them curling screams. She goes, ah! I went, oh, man. I went, oh, my Lord, what's happening? And I'm right as I'm saying, sin, bring forth death. He falls over. And she goes, he's dead. He's dead! He's dead! And we called the ambulance. Man, they took five people out before they found out a real one that died, really died. No, I'm just kidding, but, you know. He fell over and she's screaming that he's dead and everything. And man, and all the nurses in the church started getting around him, going over there. And I said, let's pray. And I bowed my head and I'm praying. And I'm going, oh God, have mercy on Brother Bob. Oh God, please God, have mercy on him. And all of a sudden I hear this, son of a... And he said it.
He says, a real deep voice. Talk about boom. And I'm praying. I'm going, oh, God, help Brother Bob. I said, what did he say? And when I said, what did he say? He went, ah, son of a, again. And his wife goes, Bob, shut up. You're in church. Whap, and smacks him upside the head. Ambulance come in. I mean, service was over after that, man. It was over. Paramedics come in. They take him out. They take him to the hospital. My father used to always say, son of a brick. Whenever he wasn't as mad, he'd say, son of a brick. I went down to the emergency room, and I asked the nurses. I said, where's Brother Bob Rowley at? And she said, over behind that curtain over there. So I went over. I made a big scene. I went over. I said, I'll tell you what, that Bob Rowley, he's a son of a brick. And I got to open the curtain. And he went, oh, preacher, I can't come back to church. I can't come back to church. He said, man, I can't believe I said that. My wife told me what I said. I said, well, you shouldn't be talking like that around the house anyhow. He goes, oh, preacher, I don't know where it came from. I don't know where the words came out of my mouth for. And I said, Brother Bob, he said, I can't come back to church. I said, well, you can, man, if you just get up and apologize. He got up in front of the church, apologized, and man, we went on, you know. But the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. You know where it probably came from? Watching movies. Watching movies with all kinds of cussing in. Doesn't bomb a bit. He dies as a fool dies. Died as a fool dies. And he says his hands were not bound. The guy should have been in a battle. He should have been fighting. He should have died with his boots on. I mean, fighting. A lot of Christians end up, I tell you what's going to happen. A lot of Christians, when the Lord come back, or if the Lord doesn't, if the Lord tarries, a lot of Christians are going to die, and they're going to die like a fool because they don't do anything. They won't stand against anything. A fellow said one time, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. They won't stand for God. They won't witness for God. And David lamented over to him, and he said, Abner died as a fool died, and his hands were not bound, and the feet were not put in feathers. Feathers is chains, put in chains. And he said, man, this guy should have expected, he should have known. You should be on guard. That's why the Bible tells you walk circumspectly, not as fools. It tells you that. You need to be on guard at all times. The Bible says the devil lays snares and try to snare you, to trap you, to tear you up. You got to be careful. Abner died as a fool died. I may ask you something. How are you going to die? I had a deacon in our church. A guy. I've had two deacons in our church, and both of them, two of them broke their neck. I had a deacon in our church, and he was always, he was our youth pastor at the same time, and he always would do stuff. He would always do stuff behind my back. And he would tell Jesse, he said, what the preacher don't know won't hurt him. And I would tell him, don't do this, don't do that. No, that ain't right. No, don't do that. And he would always say, what the preacher don't know won't hurt him. And one January, they went down, they said they're going to play football. And I said, guys, flag football. I said, play flag football. So my son-in-law was there and everybody was there. And my deacon got there and he got out of the car. And this guy was on 30-some years old, good health. I mean, he was a paramedic, and he knew, you know, he was a blessing to the church. He really was. But he was always doing stuff that when I told him not to do something, he would always do behind my back and say, oh, what the preacher don't know, he it won't hurt him. And that day, that January day, my son-in-law came up to the house, and the football field was down the road from my house. He came up, and he said, call ambulance. I said, why? He said, Mike, man, he broke his shoulder. I said, were you all playing tackle? He said, yeah. I said, I told you. He said, well, Mike said, he got out of the car and they said, preacher said, don't play tackle. He said, flag. He said, he looked around. He said, you see the preacher here? He said, he ain't here. We can do what we want. Mike played football that day and one of the boys tackled him and broke his neck and gave him a spinal injury. It ruined his life. It ruined his life. He had a spinal injury. I watched that guy. He almost died. We went to Baltimore. They flew him out. I went over, and he was hyperventilating. He said, preacher, my C4 and C5 is broke. And he's hyperventilating. He starts crying. I'm holding. I said, Mike, why'd y'all play football? I'm holding his hand as he's going into the helicopter. He said, my neck's broke. He said, I got a spinal. He told me everything was wrong with him.
And he's hyperventilating. He said, take care of my family, preacher. Take care of my children. Two boys, one girl. Take care of my family. I'm crying. I get in the car and follow, go to the hospital. My church comes there. We're all praying over him. Mike lived, but it cost him his family. It cost him his children. His son gets in a car accident. Hits a tree and wasn't expected to live. His best friend was in the car with him. I preach that boy's funeral. 16 years old. His father bought him a 442 Olds. What an idiot. I said, why in the world did you buy that boy that car? Mike was taking Oxycontin, taking everything. He was taking it like candy. I said, Mike, that's going to expand your heart. It's going to cause you to have a heart attack. 2 years ago, I was coming. Mike moved away from there. He moved away from our church, and he came back to me one night. Or he came back and moved back in the area and got a house, bought a house. And he said to me, he came into church and he said, started crying. He said, I want to get back to where I was. His wife is gone now. She married somebody else, ran off, married somebody else. She couldn't take him. Couldn't take him. I was preaching at another boy's funeral. 30 years old, boy died, heart attack. I'm leaving one funeral. I get a call about Mike. They found Mike dead in his house. He was 44 years old. I preached his funeral. And I thought, Mike, if you only listen. If you only listen, man. Mike was hard-headed. He wouldn't listen. I loved him. Wouldn't listen. You know, when I was telling them that stuff, I was doing it for their own good. I was telling them, don't do it, man. Don't get nobody get hurt. I don't want somebody's life to be ruined. It might cost him his job. It cost him everything. His hands were not bound. His feet wasn't in feathers. As a man fall before wicked men, so fell thou, and all the people wept again over him. Abner should have been aware. Christians, we should be aware. We should be aware of what's going on around us. You should be aware that this world is not your friend. Just you ought to be aware. When something, Paul said, I'll not be brought under the power of any. When something controls you, gets a hold of you, you know what will happen? You'll end up dying before your time. Die like a fool. That boy I've told you about, come out of a funeral, 30 years old, he was another boy, drugs. He used to go to camp with us. I used to take him to camp. I've spanked a bunch of boys at camp. I had a boy call me yesterday. He said, preacher, you're the only one ever spanked me beside my father. And he said, I ain't got no daddy. When I say, I know what I'm talking about. I've been around enough hurt, enough sorrow, enough pain, and seeing so much stuff like that. I've had enough of it. I've seen enough of it. I watched my little boy get run over by a car when I took to church. I've seen enough. I want the Lord to come back. I don't want to die like no fool. I want to live for God. I want to stand right. I want to live right. A lot of Christians won't do it. Something happened in their life, they'll get mad at God and quit and get mad. They'll be always on the wrong. You know what Abner was? He was on the wrong side of a split. You know, I've been in churches where they have church splits. And it's usually the people get on the wrong side of everything. Wrong side of things. He died like a fool because of the company he kept. He died like a fool because he didn't do nothing. And I'll tell you this last thing. Look at verse 27. Here's the sad thing. Here's the worst one. When Abner was returned to Hebron, you know what Hebron was? Listen to me. You know what Hebron was? God in the Old Testament gave Moses six cities. God says, I want you to lay out six cities, going to be called cities of refuge. And these cities of refuge is for if somebody got killed, the guy who, say, if he was cutting with a piece of axe and cutting a piece of wood and the axe head came off and hit a guy and killed him, he had to run to that city to be able to be for a city of refuge. And that city of refuge where the avenger of the family couldn't get to him to kill him. And they would probably have a trial there. to see whether he was guilty or not. If he was wanting to kill him or whatever. And Abner came to the city, and Joab knew if Abner got inside the city, he was safe. So what Joab did, he waited for Abner outside the gate. And Joab waited there and had his men, and Abner rode up, had 20 men with him, and he rode up and he said, the king wants to see me? And he said, yeah, come here, I'm going to talk to you first. And he didn't let him get inside the gate. You know what that's a type of? The devil don't want you to go home in victory. The devil doesn't want you to go home in victory. He wants to tear your life up before you get inside the gate. He wants to ruin your children. He wants to ruin your wife. He wants to ruin you. He wants to do everything he can to stop you if you're trying to do right and live for God. He wants you to die like a fool. He wants your name marred. He wants to, whatever he can. I said, the Bible says, the devil that is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've known a lot of preachers run off with other men's wives. I've known a lot of things happen in church. I had a guy in our church that was molesting all his kids. I had two of them molesting all his kids. God knows my heart, I wanted to kill him. I went to the prison to preach, and here he is. He's there. As soon as I walk in, he comes to me, lays his head on my shoulder and cries and says, I'm sorry for you. Molesting his kids. You know what he was doing? Messing with the internet. Looking at pornography. Another one doing the same thing, messing with pornography, destroyed his home. Both of them had 8 kids. Mess with that stuff, you'll die like a fool. You'll die like a fool! Pornography, looking at that stuff. Them kids, we got half of them kids are in my church. They stayed. I took them kids in. The mother was 30-some years old, had 8 kids. I took all the kids in my house. They lived in my house. They felt safe there. Whenever I went to preach funerals, and those kids would go with me and sing. And man, the mama would go. But then after the daddy did what he did, and I told her, she said, what should I do? I said, put him in jail. And I told her, I said, look, sis, I'm sitting on the couch with her. I said, sis, if you'll just do right and you honor God, I said, man, we'll buy you a house. I promise you. I called preachers up. I had one preacher going to give me $20,000, another one going to give me all the money. And took up an offering one night, gave her $5,000 some odd. I gave her $5,100 some odd. This one offer, we just gave it to her. And what she did, she goes out and gets a breast enhancement. And then she goes to the bars and starts flashing. Oh, man, I wanted to kill her. Those kids knew, you know what those kids, they knew I did right. She's sitting on my couch, and my wife would have hurt her. She would have broke her neck. She said, I looked over, I said, sis, you just do right. God take care of you. She said, preacher, I need a man. I need a man, somebody like you. And I said, you stupid idiot. You idiot. What are you saying? I said, a man is what got you in a mess. If she don't get right with God, she's going to die like a fool. All her kids, most of the kids in our church. Those kids love me. Those kids are in bus routes. They're doing all that stuff. I had a woman one time in our church. She was running around with her husband. Her husband was lost sitting over here. And I preached against adultery and fornication. I mean, I was directing it right to her. I was preaching right at her. And she was amen to me. She was going, amen, preacher, that's right. And I'm thinking, if she knew I was talking about her. I was preaching right to her. And then when she finally realized, and her husband, she looked over, her husband was sitting over there, and he started crying, and she looked over and knew that I was preaching to her, she got up and out the door. I looked at my associate pastor, and I said, take over the service. I went chasing her. I mean, somebody run out of trouble, I'm going to chase him. I chased her outside, and she grabbed the kid, and she threw the kid in the car. And she threw that little girl in the car, and she was cussing. And I said, shut your mouth. She rolled the window. I said, I'll slap you upside your head, you stupid idiot. I mean, I was asked. And that morning, we had an old couple just got saved. And I'm down beside the car, and I'm yelling. I said, you shut your mouth. I'm yelling at her. And then all of a sudden, this couple, my associate pastor, God bless him, he let the people out. I told him to hold them. He lets them out. I'm out there yelling at this woman, and she's got her car revving up, and the kid's crying in the back seat. And I said, roll your window down. Shut up. Roll your window down. And then this couple just got saved, walked right by at the end of the car, and they go,
they look at me and I say, oh, hey, how y'all doing? I'm glad you got saved this morning. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Tonight, service, 6 o'clock. And all of a sudden she goes, out of the parking lot. Fourteen years went by. One day a blonde-headed little girl come walking down the aisle. Her mama, I was in some boxer from New York come down to see me. This be right after this, he come to see me. Wanted to talk to me about marriage. And another guy came with him from New York up in Brooklyn. And they come down, this guy was a referee, boxer and all that. He did Madison Square Garden. He wanted to talk to me about how do you know the right woman when you're going to marry. I get to a restaurant. We get out of the car and this woman shows up. She has hot pants and a halter top on. And the two guys get out of the car with me and I saw her and that was the woman who went to our church. That got mad at me, spun the wheels, got out of there. And I went, oh man, there she is. I went like this. Oh man, I don't have to deal with it. And she walks in and the guy that was from New York, he goes, good night, look at that. He goes, no wonder women, man, what a mess. No, he's going off. I said, shut up. He goes, look at that. I said, I don't want to look at that. So we go in the restaurant. I looked where she was sitting. She was sitting down there. And then I went way over here and sat over here. And this guy wanted to talk to me. And every time this girl walked by, he goes, oh, man, there she is again. I said, will you shut up, please? And all of a sudden, he said, there she is. She's coming this way. I'm going, oh, God, my heart starts beating real fast. She comes up and puts her hand on my shoulder and says, hey, Pastor, how you doing? But 14 years later, after that little girl, she left, blonde-headed girl came in my church, walks up to me, she said, Pastor, do you know who I am? I said, no, I sure don't. Your face looks familiar. I've had that happen to me many times. She said, do you know who I am? I said, no. She started crying. She said, I'm that little girl. I knew you was trying to stop my mom. I knew you wanted my mom to do right. But I just want to tell you, I came of age, and my mom wouldn't let me come back here, but I'm here now. That little girl runs a bus route. A couple years later, that mama came in, apologized to me, and said, I'm sorry, preacher, crying. Came up on the platform. Said, she walked up there and doing a revival. She came up, she said, preacher, will you forgive me? I preached her husband's funeral. Prison guard. Didn't do nothing. Didn't fight. Died like a fool. Almost in the city. The city of refuge. Verse 27 says, when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're about ready to go inside the gate. We're about ready to go home. The Lord's coming back. Go home in victory. Live for God. Don't let the devil take you down beside the gate to talk to you quietly. And stick you good. If Abner could have just got inside the gate, if he could have just got inside, Joab couldn't have touched him. Hebron, city of refuge. 6 of them in the Bible. You can live for God. You can serve it. But you better have your armor on. Look in your Bible. I'll close with this. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. This goes for all of us. Moms, dads, children. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. And look what else it says. It says the shield of faith. And then it says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I have that shield up. And look what else it says. Look what the next verse says. Take the helmet of salvation. You know where your battle is? Your battle's right there. Your battle's right there.
That's right.
You're fighting a battle, and it's in your mind. You better put your helmet on. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust the flesh. It says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication with all for all saints. Man, put on the whole armor of God. How do you put it on? Reading your Bible. Daily basis, praying, asking God help you. Put on the whole armor of God. Man, we're just about getting ready to get in the gate.
Amen.
The devil's got a dagger. He wants to put his arm around you and say, is this really worth it? Oh, serving God? I mean, you've been through these trials and you're going through financial troubles and you're going through all this problem. Is it really worth it? Come on. Come on. Is this really real? I mean, is it really real? Is God real? Does He care? You know, God must not love you. If you're going through all this, God must not love you. He just wants to stick you good. You say, preacher, that happened to you? Oh, there's a lot of times whispering stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Whispering to you. Telling you all kinds of stupid stuff. You know what I do? I'll be riding down the road. I'll start singing. I try to sing. Amen. Sing all the time.
Yeah.
I'll say, and sometimes I'll say, shut up. I'll be in the truck by myself riding the road. Shut up.
Amen.
Look at yourself in the mirror and go, you need to get right. Boy, I tell you what, Abner, if Abner knew that he had any idea that Joab was going to, he thought everything was all right. Wasn't expecting it. A lot of times that's where you get it, when you're not expecting it. You better be on guard. Abner, David cried. David cried over him and he said, Abner died as a fool died. I imagine you sitting here tonight, you probably think about some Christians that you've known. They're out. They're not living for God. They're saying it ain't really worth it. You probably think about somebody. I'm going to tell you something. It is worth it.
Right.
It's worth living for God. It's worth putting on the whole armor of God. It's worth being ready. Walk circumspectly.
Amen.
Not as fools.
Amen.
Fool. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want the devil to destroy me and take my family and destroy my family. Destroy our church. Bring the name of Jesus Christ and throw it under the mud. I don't want that to happen. I better be on guard. I better be on guard. I better protect that, put that mind that Jesus Christ said, let this mind be in you.